Primally Pure just launched their Blue Tansy Body Butter, and it's more than a moisturizer. It's a full body exhale. This is their best-selling body butter formula, reimagined with calming Blue Tansy. It's a rich, whipped body moisturizer packed with barrier-building grass-fed tallow to deeply nourish dry, compromised skin. The texture is cloud-soft but ultra-replenishing. It melts in, protects against moisture loss, and leaves skin visibly smoother and more supple. And the scent? Soft Blue Tansy, lavender and sandalwood. Fresh, subtle, and elevated. If you already love the Blue Tansy deodorant or body oil, this is the perfect next step.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I have to respond to some of the things that Brian Cashman was saying.
Yes, absolutely.
When he was talking to Evan and Sean Marash, I thought they asked them all the right questions. And you could, man, I swear to God, you could feel it. You could feel the disdain that he has for both Jeter and A-Rod, especially A-Rod.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
Especially A-Rod, but also Jeter, though, too.
Well, yeah, there are a couple of things. One, when he says that, you know, 48 hours before they picked us to win the World Series, and then they're hammering us after that. I mean, that happens all the time, especially if they're a team that there was high expectations and they thought they were going to do well, and then they fell short. They're going to point out the shortcomings. But he seemed very affected by it. That was the only thing he seemed affected by was those guys. And by the way, he didn't go after them unsolicited. Like, he didn't really say anything in the press conference about it. And then Evan asked him, and then he goes, thanks for giving me the opportunity to clear this up. So he was asked the question, but this is where I think the whole analytic thing stems from. And this, we had this conversation at the time when Jeter said it, that what he said, yes, fed into the fan thing of, you know, you got the analytics geeks and Brian Cashman calling down to Aaron Boone and making the decisions, and Boone's not doing it. That's what all those people, those fans, believe is happening when that's not happening. And Brian Cashman is pissed off because it's feeding the beast of that, which they get hammered with all the time. However, and Jerry and I and you broke this down at the time, what really is going on still is infuriating to fans. Is there's a script of things that all scenarios within the game that everybody comes up with and says, all right, if he's at this number of pitches, we're going to do this. If this guy comes up in this situation, we're going to do this. And it's all analytics based. So there's still a lack of feel and a lack of human element in there. It's not directly, hey, put this guy in, but collaboratively, they have come up with a plan of every scenario based on the numbers to say, if this situation comes up, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, I don't know how many times we got to talk about this. I mean, it just seems
like... Well, you just brought it up!
No, I'm just talking about this particular situation in regards to analytics, because every team is doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And they're all collaborating. And believe you me, if the manager didn't believe in what the Yankees were feeding him, then he wouldn't be here. You know, he would have been fired.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's like, I don't know what really people want. I mean, other than, you know, a world championship, and then however they get there is going to have all the attributes of what they have going on now.
Yeah.
I mean, and really we'll see what happens this offseason when it comes to free agency and how aggressive they want to be in certain areas. That's what it's going to come down to. I believe that they think that they have a great pitching staff coming back, assuming that Gerrit Cole is all the way back, say maybe sometime in May or maybe even June. They may hold them off, kind of like the Dodgers held off Shohei Ohtani, and then give me the second half and then give me the playoffs when we get there, and then we'll be happy. But I don't. There's just the real, like, and again, I know that they are ex-Yankee legends, okay, and they deserve all the accolades they get when they accomplish what they accomplished. And they just happen to be on the same show together, and the Yankees always happen to be, like, in their sights because they're in the playoffs. So they have to give something. They have to give an opinion about something. And I think a lot of it goes back to, in my estimation, number one, the Jeter contract the last time around.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's Brian Cashman dealing with Jeter's agent, and he's trying to hold down as much money as he possibly can, because Derek Jeter now is a champion and he sees himself as a champion and as an important cog in the Yankee the stratosphere, and he wants to be paid as such. But they held him down under $200 million. That, I think, was $186 million was his last contract. And then, of course, you have the A-Rod disaster at the end when he's writing his phone number on baseballs and throwing it to women in the stands.
Well, that was
but it's all that embarrassing crap that the Yankees had to put up with all those years, and they treated him like Barry Bonds was treated out in San Francisco. You know, like, he was the king. He stayed at a different hotel. He had the special contract, and it was a huge contract. I mean, all that crap. And Brian Cashman, at the end of that, and I'm sure Hal Steinbrenner and everybody else, you know, it was an embarrassing way for him to leave. They had a day for him. It was raining. It wasn't really planned.
Well, also, he was lying about using steroids that entire time. He was showing up at a courthouse and slamming his fist on the desk and storming out and continuing to say that he had never done anything. And then, of course, backtracked, came in here, WFAN, and Mike Francesa asked him directly about using steroids. He lied about it then and backtracked. So that was really the big thing.
No, I know. And that's the undercurrent of all this.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I'm sure that when Brian sees both of those guys, if he ever does run into them, I'm sure it's very cordial. But there's an underlying tension that is between both of those players and the organization.
Meet your moment of calm. Primaleap here had just expanded their Blue Tansy collection, and the new Blue Tansy Body Butter is already a ritual rooted in real life. It's cloud soft, it melts into the skin, and it's made from scratch with real biocompatible ingredients your body actually recognizes. Grass-fed tallow to fortify your skin barrier, mango and shea butters to replenish moisture, and beeswax for a breathable layer of protection. For mornings that feel full, for days that don't go as planned, for moments that seem chaotic, return to calm with skin that feels restored, protected, and buttery soft.
You know what it is? It's as simple as this. If you are A-Rod and Derek Jeter, they didn't feel like they got respected enough at the end of their careers by the Yankees, and the Yankees have not won a World Series without them, and they love that. That's what it is. It's like, you thought you were smarter than everybody, Brian, but guess what? Since we've been gone, you haven't done squat. We were there winning championships, and I think Brian Cash was like, well, A-Rod was able to poke through with one championship.
I mean, like, you could hear it,
but guess what?
But
the Yankees haven't been able to poke through with any championships after those guys have left.
Yeah, but on the other side, though, those guys poke at him. I mean, Derek Jeter directly, you know, was right after Brian Cashman.
Well, this is what I'm saying, though.
Because he protected Aaron Boone, and, you know, they were teammates. So why wouldn't they? Yeah. Why wouldn't he? I mean, there's nothing Aaron Boone is, well, every fan has their point of view, but I'm just saying that Derek went out of his way to protect the manager.
Yeah, right, because he has an axe to grind with Brian Cashman. I think that those guys really do enjoy that the Yankees have not had as much success with them not around, because they didn't feel like Brian Cashman, the organization, respected them as much as they thought they should be respected at the end of their career.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that.
It's a lot
human
of us,
nature.
I feel like a lot of us have that. You know what I mean?
Like, it's human nature thing.
You can go down, I mean, maybe the history of all these different players that ended up leaving here, no matter what teams they played for, if they ended up leaving because, you know, the team felt like they had to move on from the player as opposed to the player saying, this is it for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. even like Henrik Lundqvist went to Washington, and then he had, you know, he had the physical problems, so he never really played for them. Mm-hmm. But even he was not ready to totally leave yet. And the Rangers said, well, you got to go. We got this young kid coming up, Shesterkin. He's got to be the guy.
Right.
You gave us 15 years of unbelievable hockey. Goodbye.
Oh, wow. Boomer weaved hockey into this conversation.
And the point being is because when you talk about organizational legacies and legends, you know, you want to give a perspective as to how it could happen in all different sports, not just for the Yankees.
Yeah. And it just, it's very.
And Phil Simms and the Giants.
I mean, it very rarely ends the way that you want it to, that both sides are happy with the way that it ends. Very, very rarely does that go on. Let's go to Mike, who's in Wall. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. As always, you guys do a tremendous job covering stuff. I just wanted to bring up a point that Boomer made and kind of go on with it, because he's 100% right. Boomer, you're 100% right. It's not a Yankee thing. It's an MLB thing. And I'm a huge baseball fan, and I'm going to watch no matter what. But baseball has changed, and most Yankee fans watch Yankee games. So they think this is a Yankee problem with the analytics and the scripted things and all of that, when Boomer's 1,000,000% right. It's a baseball thing. Baseball has changed. There's analytic departments that are in every single organization. They all do it. And, yeah, I don't – me personally as a fan, yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. They've taken out the human element of so many things. And baseball should always have a human element in it. And they've gone too far with the analytics. I mean, Yankees specifically – and Yankee fans get on Volpe. I watched Volpe from the time he was a kid. DeRosa broke down his swing when he was in high school to now, and did a great job breaking it down. He was a Derek Jeter type right center gap hitter, contact guy, used his speed. He came to the Yankees, and just like every organization, they value home runs, and they tried to change his swing to be more of a power hitter. So, yeah, I don't like the way baseball's going, but you guys are 100% right. You got to zoom out and see that it's not a Yankee thing. It's a baseball
thing. Yeah, I mean, I think the broader point, though, is are the Yankees using the correct analytics? Because what you just said is right. The Yankees are so obsessed with the launch angle thing and the home run and the strikeout and all of those things that, like, everybody's used in analytics, but are the Yankees doing it as good as everybody else? That's really the question. And by the way, the Mets, I think, are going to be more analytical than the Yankees this coming year because of what we talked about with this Kai Correa being the bench coach, this young guy who's allegedly like Mr. Analytics, like he's like a human calculator.
He's the Mike McDaniel of coaching.
Oh, let's hope he can speak better. But yeah.
Well, hopefully he doesn't have to speak. But he simply because you want to hear from the manager, not from the bench coach. You know, here's the thing. Like last night, I think we finally saw something where analytics had got blown up in the face of human emotion, and that was Max Scherzer and John Schneider, his manager. Like Schneider was like, you know, he was ready to yank him, and he's ready to yank him because you know he hadn't pitched in a while. He's going into the game. He's like in his 80th pitch or something like that, and Max Scherzer goes, "You're not taking me out," like in his face. And he didn't take him out. So that right there was probably everything that goes against analytics.
Yes.
That's the emotion. That's the human emotion between a player and a manager. And now you're talking about a legendary player. And you have a manager that, you know, is trying to deal with this. And this guy hasn't pitched throughout the playoffs until now.
Yeah, I mean, and they had a decent lead at that point, too. It wasn't a one-run lead they were hanging on to. They had a little bit of wiggle room.
I bet you analytics had take him out.
Yeah.
And he didn't because of the way Max was reacting on the mound.
Yeah.
I thought it was
and sometimes, and it worked out for them, but sometimes that's the worst thing you can do, is listen to the – like if he believed John Schneider that Max Scherzer was done and he needed to take him out, like – you got to take him out, no matter how much he's yelling in the face. But he said, all right, you know what? You convinced me. Stay out there. I mean, the freaking Terry Collins, Matt Harvey
stuff. Yeah.
Here we go.
All the managers in the stands all wanted Matt Harvey to stay in the game.